I desperately need to hang on at that moment.
The Way. Signs of the Times is sponsored in part by Bob Johnson Insurance, an independent full-service agency featuring Erie Insurance products. Insuring over 1,000 churches and religious ministries in Kentucky, Alabama, and Tennessee, and even insuring those who attend church, too. If you'd like a personalized, no-obligation quote, you can call 865-922-3111 or visit them online at bobjohnsonins.com.
Meds for Stat has underwritten this edition of Signs of the Times. Meds for Stat is medications to prepare you for such a time as this. Meds for Stat provides access to medication kits containing an emergency supply of possibly life-saving antibiotics, as well as other medications and a treatment guide. Go to medsforstat.com or phone 1-888-RX4STAT.
Current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
The enemy is now bussing in terror to Israel. But how will she respond in the midst of this so-called peace agreement? Russia and Iran have agreed that nothing will stop them from fulfilling Ezekiel 38 and 39. Nothing is stopping Ukraine's president from playing politics. And people with hate in their hearts aren't playing around. They really want to murder every Jew. We've got the statistics and stories to show you the signs of the times, our weekly review of Bible prophecies in the world's news for Friday, February 21st, 2025. You can listen or watch any episode again. You can share them with a skeptical friend. You can read the articles we talk about. You can even ask Pastor Mark your prophecy question. And sometimes if you just got a Bible question, you can shoot that our way too. And you can do that when you visit the Signs of the Times section on thewaymedia.net, or simply grab our Way Media app from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store. And now, here's someone who says people are shocked to find out that he's bad as an electrician, is Pastor Mark, who wants to know, if vegetables are so good, why are vegans always trying to make them taste like meat?
That is a great point.
I knew you'd like that.
That is a great point. Yeah, of course. I mean, I know why, but still, yeah, just eat some meat.
Why is that?
Well, you know, because they like the taste of meat. They're just trying to avoid meat, either to spare the animals or whatever the case might be. I'm not quite sure what it is, but, you know, God says, the Bible says that God gave us all things richly to enjoy. Rise, Peter, kill and eat.
Yes.
So let's be men. Let's rise. Yes. Let's kill. Let's eat. Enjoy your steak.
Yes. And not rise in food process.
That's right.
Yes.
That's right.
Anyway.
That's good. I like that.
All right. Before we get into our articles, things are definitely percolating prophetically over there in Israel, and there are some things that you would like to talk about regarding Israel and her current state before we get into the articles.
I would, yes. And also a quick clarification on a question we had last week. I got a follow-up question on the question about the Tree of Life. We had a question on the Tree of Life and what it was for last week, and I jumped right into the Millennial Kingdom on it. And really the question, in re-looking at it, was talking about, where it talks about the Tree of Life in Revelation. So in Revelation, it says there'll also be a Tree of Life after the new heaven and the new earth. So the question was really more focused on that.
Oh, okay.
And there's two different schools of thought to clarify on that. One is, yes, indeed, some believe that because prophecy is not chronological always, that maybe in that passage there, it's jumping back to the Millennial Kingdom. And when it talks about the Tree of Life, it's actually talking about the Millennial Kingdom and those trees that line both sides of the river. The other school of thought says, no, it's literally talking about something different. the tree of life, because it doesn't call them the tree of life in Ezekiel. It just says they're trees whose leaves give healing. But there in Revelation, calls it the tree of life. I believe that, yes, it's in context, I think, chronologically, as the new heaven, the new earth, and there will be, it would appear to me, a tree of life in the new heaven and the new earth. So then we get back to the original question, well, why would there be a tree of life in the new heaven and the new earth? Remember, there was a tree of life before the fall. Adam and Eve had the tree of life in the garden. And they also had the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They just ate from the wrong tree. So God, it's not like the tree of life was only, you know, there added in after the fall. It was there before the fall. So this is a part of God's creation. So he will reestablish the tree of life. And again, even as the Bible talks there about that the leaves will be used for the healing of the nations, the word there healing doesn't just mean healing as though I'm sick and I need to be healed. The word also means to renew. It just means renew in health in general, but renew. I don't think so much in health would be applicable there because there's not going to be any health issues. But it would appear that the tree is going to be there just for renewal. I mean, we won't need it. We got our new bodies, but it's just going to be something probably refreshing, something maybe empowering, something that's just, who knows what it's going to be used for. I kind of think of, you know, you're driving, what is it? You have Mario Brothers and you're driving through all the different little fruit. What, boop, boop, boop. You know,
you make
some extra points before you head off to another planet. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what it is. And of course, I'm being silly about that. But either way, it is a renewing that it talks about there. So I want to make sure I made a clarification on that from last week.
Okay.
And then getting to what you said, Greg, in the intro there, absolutely. I want to talk a little bit about what's going on in Israel and the hostage situation. It is absolutely atrocious and heartbreaking what's going on with Hamas and Israel and this whole situation. I'm sure that most of our listeners, if not all, know what happened here in the last few days, where we discovered that those babies, that mother and the two little redheaded babies there, one only something like 4 months old, one was 4 years old and one was just a few months old. I forget the exact age of the baby. They came back dead. And actually, the mother didn't even come back. They said the mother was coming back. They did DNA testing and found out it wasn't even her. It was some woman from Gaza. They sent back the wrong body. And I'm sure they did it on purpose to hurt the nation of Israel, to hurt the families, to further insult. That's exactly what these wicked people are doing. And the little babies they found out, Greg, from looking at them, when they sent them back, they said, well, Israeli bombs blew them up. Well, no. Forensics have now determined they were both put to death by bare hands. My assumption is they were strangled to death. They didn't say how the bare hands put them to death, but it would appear they were strangled to death. And then their bodies were apparently mutilated or abused in some way. I mean, they said it was just absolutely horrific. And it just exemplifies the kind of people that we're dealing with in the Gaza Strip with Hamas. These guys are monsters. I mean, it is truly people that have been turned over to demonism. That's the only way you can describe it.
Yeah, well, you've talked about this before, Pastor Mark, in terms of regional demons,
yep.
And we see throughout Scripture the same things happening in certain regions Bible history.
That's right.
And now in present day, but we forget to make that connection.
That's right. And I believe it's the same demon that's been over the Philistine region for thousands of years, which now there are no Philistines, but the Hamas are there. And I believe that it's the same demons that were there in that region thousands of years ago in the biblical days are now stirring these same people during the Canaanite days. They're stirring the same people to be just as wicked and atrocious. And the only reason the Jews are not is God's protection on them in the area that they're in. But it is truly demonic. I mean, they're marching these bodies down the streets. They have men, women, and children yelling and cheering at these dead bodies as they carry them through the streets in unison. I mean, it's just demonic. Then they go to this stage where they have this demonic vampire image of Prime Minister Netanyahu with blood coming off his mouth, and they make him go up on the stage, and they sign this paperwork that they're being released, and the crowd's all around them. Greg, it feels like you're in kind of some movie where this dome of demons surrounding the innocent victims there in the middle as they're just wanting blood and they're wanting to destroy them. And they were, again, going to destroy them had it not been for trying to get some of their prisoners released from Israel and all this, and they there's kind of this trickle that they're releasing them. But this time it's just dead bodies they released because they've killed so many of them. And truly, it is absolutely demonic. And when you see what they're doing, when you see how involved it is, Greg, from the men, the women, and the children, all the way down, they train these children from childhood to hate the Jews. They teach them in kindergarten and beyond to hate the Jews, and they teach them even how to use weapons and how to stab. And you hear these kids saying these horrific things. I know they're children. I get that. But they are trained from the earliest ages, and they grow right into that. And then you have this unbelievable mess that you have right now. And by the way, I really believe that Israel messed up. You know, when Saturday came last Saturday, and the president said, you know, that all hell would break loose if they, you know, as far as warfare, that kind of thing, and they didn't do anything. I think that was a mistake. Now, let me just speak on their behalf. That's easy for me to say, sitting here behind a microphone in a protected studio in America when it's not my family. I understand that. I'm not being uncompassionate for those family members that have family that's in there. I understand that. All I'm saying is, when you have people that are in there that have been in there now for a year and a half, and they're being tortured and abused, and they're trickling them out one or two at a time, some of them dead, some of them alive, I know at some point you have just got to go in and try to rescue them and take the chance they may not make it out. If I'm in there, if it's me, and I'm in there, and I would say this now, if I ever got taken captive and I was somewhere in a place of torture like this for over a few months, I would say, yeah, give it some time, try to get me out, but if not, come after me. And you know what? If I die while you're coming in there to get these guys and get me out of there, so be it. Because it would be better after a year and a half of that, it would be better to die in a rescue operation than to be tortured physically, emotionally, starved to death for who knows, possibly years to come. That is hell on earth. I would rather go on and be in the kingdom with the Lord. And I know that everybody may not say that, especially those who don't know the Lord, but I'm saying, look, at some point, it is more merciful, I believe, to send in your troops, try to, because they know where they are. They said they know where they are, but they don't want them to kill them. But it's more merciful. At some point, send in your troops. If they die in the effort, it's actually can be an act of mercy compared to what's going on now.
Exactly.
And so I'm saying, look, if I'm in there, come after me. Come get me out of there. And if I die, I die. And I have to believe that many of them would feel the same way. Now, I know the families wouldn't, but I know that can sound uncompassionate. I'm not talking about somebody's in there for a month or two or 3 months. I'm talking, you're coming up on 500 days now, over 500 days. It was 500 days a couple days ago.
Yeah.
At this point, somebody needs to do something. Now,
exactly.
So the point is, when you see this kind of wickedness from top to bottom, Greg, I used to try to make this illustration about the Canaanites to people in teachings. And wonder, do people really grasp this? You know, when God sent Israel in to take the promised land, he said, Joshua, go in, wipe out the men, women, and children, wipe them all out. When you tell someone that who doesn't know history and they don't know the Bible, and especially if they don't know God, okay, the first response you're going to get is, what kind of God is that? What kind of God would say to kill everybody, the women and the children too? What kind of God is that? And I get that. Listen, if you don't know God and don't understand the history, I would be in the same place. But you try to explain the history, and here's the history of the Canaanites. For 400 years, they had been doing what Hamas is doing. They had been torturing people, cutting off their body parts, killing them in horrible ways, same spirit. They've been doing the same thing, right? God gave them 400 years, and even their children, Greg, from the women, the men, and the children were raised in that, and they were all participating in this wicked, evil, demonic torture culture, okay? So God said, you know, all right, I'm going to give you a certain amount of time. God sent prophets to them. God sent them his spirit. God tried to speak to them. They rejected it. And by after 400 years, God said, okay, think of Hamas as Canaanites. God said, I've had enough of Hamas. That's it. Joshua, go in, kill them all, men, women, and children, because that is the merciful thing to do. And when you understand it was like Hamas, now you begin to see, this is an opportunity for people to see a modern day land of Canaan when you look at Gaza. That's what God was dealing with when he sent Joshua in and said, wipe everyone out. And people say, well, the Jews, they went and just wiped everyone out. No. God wiped them out, and God used the Jews to do it and gave the Jews to land because it was Hamas. It was basically Hamas were the Canaanites. That gives you a picture of what was going on historically, how wicked they were. Now, with that said, you say, yeah, but what about the children? Understand this, if those children that are already there in the streets screaming hatred, as these coffins are traveling through the streets, when they grow into adults, what do you think their chances are of being saved and going to heaven? Almost zero. Now, God can save anyone, I get that. But the majority of those children that are raised in that environment, they are condemned. Their parents are condemning them eternally. Because that's all they know. And so they're going to grow up hating and murdering and torturing, and they're not going to get to go to heaven. They'll have eternal separation from God. And what the Bible says is the lake of fire. Now, with that said, if God was to, the adults, they're already accountable. Okay, they're responsible. They brought the judgment on themselves. the children. When God said take the men, women, and children, people struggle with the children part. But when you think of this through, God is concerned about the eternal state of souls. It's not that God doesn't care about the temporary state of souls, but God's main goal is the eternal state of souls. And when you look at all those children and you realize if they just live their normal life, the majority by far, if not all, will grow up and end up in the lake of fire. However, if God in his mercy allows them to be taken out with the adults, some of those kids may end up in heaven because they've not reached the age of accountability where they've made that decision as an adult to be totally condemned. And because of their immaturity and their inability to know that, it is actually merciful that their lives would be ended and they would have a chance to go to heaven rather than to live their life out and be consigned to the lake of fire. So get God's eternal perspective. When you talk about Canaan and Joshua going in, that was God's perspective. God is going in to save as many as he can and realizing that if you don't take them all, they're all going to be pretty much swept up into the lake of fire. But if you take them all, some of those that are not old enough to have made that full commitment may have the right heart that God could actually, again, they may end up in heaven because they've not reached the age of accountability. So you see the same thing going on there when people talk about what's happening. When I see those kids screaming and all that, you think about, you know, once they get the hostages out, or even if they go in before that, they need to go in and just take out Hamas and just trust in God by those that go with Hamas that they at least have an opportunity to be in the kingdom of God as compared to those that don't. God hates judgment. God hates anyone not having an opportunity to go to heaven. But when you see the level of evil that people reach and the demonism that's raising up that next generation, it is in some cases, after God's grace has been extended, it is God's grace to, I think, again, take an entire society out so that at least some might be saved in death rather than all of them live and end up in the lake of fire. So again, I think if there's ever been an example that you can literally watch what God did in the land of Canaan by sending the Jews in, look at Hamas and realize that's what God did then and that's what needs to happen now. Yes, as many as could be saved, I would say save them. We want anybody in heaven. We want those kids saved, the chance to go to heaven. But again, you got to remember, God knows the hearts and God knows what's going to happen and what needs to be done. And sometimes, Greg, when a society is so bad and so demonic, like what's going on with Hamas, the only answer is a cleansing. There's no other answer. And so it's tragic. And to see Israel falling at the victimization of this is horrible.
You know, we were talking before the show about the family of Israel, in terms of how they are as a community, how they are as a nation,
yeah,
beyond just the blood.
Yeah.
And the other day I saw, I think it was part of the newscast or whatever, I guess there was a place where a bunch of Israelis were gathering, and they had the flags flying, and it was like they were watching like screens of this event,
yes,
of the hostages being released.
They were.
And Pastor Mark, you know, it really hit home for me when I watched that, because you saw the look on their faces, yeah, of just this desperation of hope,
yeah,
of how much they love their family and they just want their family back.
That's right.
And, you know, and then you pull back and you think about how God feels about family. And how about he feels about his family,
yeah,
and how we're a part of his family. And it just, the whole dynamic of family, I think we need to meditate on that.
Yeah.
I think God's got a lot to say to us about that.
Oh, yeah.
I think we're seeing it played out for us in this context, and coming back to the history of things that, you know, you've been sharing with us as well. So that was truly heartbreaking, because you and I, and not that they don't know it, but we don't have a loved one tied to this.
Yeah.
So we don't have any hope necessarily. We have more of a realistic viewpoint, because we understand the enemy in such a way that maybe some of the Jews don't even understand.
Yeah.
Because for them, it's hard for them to comprehend why they're hated so much.
Yeah.
We've got the vista of God's word to show us why.
Right, right.
And without God's word, we would be in the same place as they are.
Right. They don't see it through the lens of the demonic realm. That's, you know, Satan working to destroy,
exactly,
them as a nation. So, and Greg, you know, it's interesting. I've had 15 different trips now to Israel, and I've had a chance to spend a month in a row over there. Actually, more than a month, 5 weeks at one point. Living among the people there and just living normal life, which was a huge blessing. That was an answer to prayer. But either way, with that said, They're so family oriented. What I learned when I was over there is it is truly their descendants of Abraham. They're all from one family. So they all have one dad. What nation do you know that all has one dad?
Yeah.
That's it. And so it's amazing when you go to a nation that all has one dad, they are literally all family. I mean, their family tree literally all goes back to Abraham. And so they love each other. They treat each other like family. And what I found about the Jewish people is wonderful. They take you in as family. When I was there, just meeting people in public and in restaurants and everything, they literally would treat me as family. There was great kindness and great acceptance and great love. They're an amazing people in many different ways. I know they're stubborn, and I know they block themselves off to God right now. That's sinful, and God's going to break them. But again, there's that element of family there that we could learn from here in America in a much greater way. But one last thing I want to say on this before we okay. move on to articles, and that is, you know, what's next? What's going to be next? Here's what I think you'd be watching for. I gave a kind of a heads up to our body last Saturday, and I'll talk about it this Sunday. I believe that when the clock was to strike at 12:01, you would see some action take place, and it didn't. It's still going to. I believe that. I think they've made a mistake by delaying it. Again, it's easy to armchair quarterback here, but I believe they did because I think it just kind of shows the enemy, hey, they're weak and we can get away with this. But with that said, I know their heart. They're trying to save as many as they can, which I'm with them on that. We want them all saved. It just, like I said, comes a point where it's like, what's better, to live in total torture for years and years or to take a chance you may die and rescue? But with that said, I think what we're going to see next is, especially with what happened here where they sent these dead bodies back of these babies that they know they murdered now with their bare hands, they said, the forensic show, and then sending back the wrong body just to mock them and hurt them more of the mom and all that goes with that. I think, Greg, once they get back this next thing, when there's that phase two deadline that's coming up, and the phase two, Hamas has to step down from their leadership and all these different things have to change. They're not going to do that, and Israel's not going to do what they're supposed to do. Once they get as many hostages out as they can, they may not end up getting them all out. Before they do this, I believe they're going to go in and just start taking them out. I think you're going to see more bombing, more air raids in just a massive way. You watch. It's going to break loose. We're not done with this. I still believe it's going to happen. I know, like I said, I believe they should have already done it. I can't second guess what they're doing, but the bottom line is it's coming, so be ready for it.
Yeah, there's no negotiating with this.
No, you can't reason with people that are unreasonable. There is no reasoning with Satan. You can't reason with the devil.
No.
And I'm not just saying this to call, I'm not calling Hamas names. I'm saying this is demonic.
Yes.
Because you do not slice people up, cut their parts off, torture them, rape them. That's demonic. This is more than hatred. This is more than war. This is stuff like when people talk about they're afraid to go to hell because they know it's going to be this torture place. This is like hell on earth.
This is real possession.
It is. It is. And it's true demonism. I mean, there is a horde of demons.
Yes.
You think about the 2,000, the 6,000 demons that the Lord cast out, 4,000 to 6,000 up there in the Gadarenes.
Yes.
You know, they may be down there right now. It could be those guys. It could be even more than that. We don't know where they are. But the bottom line is, it's demons, and
yeah.
they're down there doing their dirty work, and so there's really no way to deal with the problem. Is the people have opened themselves up. God loves the people. God died for the people. But there comes a point when you totally give yourself over to demonism that it's unredeemable. And when the person reaches the point of unredemption, like the Canaanites did, God has no choice but to judge them and remove the cancer. And so that's where you hate any casualties beyond that or whatever, but that's what we've got going on right now, Greg, in Gaza with Hamas.
Yeah, and that's a tough place to be. You know, it really is. You know, continue to pray for Israel. I was reminded of that this morning when I saw that video, and to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, as the
yes.
Bible tells us.
And I've been praying for them today as well. Be praying for them greatly.
Yeah. You know, I'm grateful we love the Jews, Pastor Mark.
Yes, me too.
This is from Fox News, dated February 20th. Of course, this is, you know, we're preaching to the choir that's already heard this, but an apparent terror attack rocks Israel. Two buses reportedly explode. I think you had mentioned it was actually three and not two, but let's talk about this.
Let's do, actually three exploded, and I'll give further details. Now they actually found out that 15 buses were targeted. But so this article, you know, by the time we get to the show.
I know, it's so quick.
It really is. I mean, today's the 21st. This was yesterday.
Yeah, and
so, you know,
already,
it's like, you know, we could, during the show, things change. But three buses in a parking lot reportedly exploded in Israel Thursday night in what appears to have been a terrorist attack. Now we know that it was. No one was injured. We'll get to that in just a moment, how God intervened. Several other bombs were reportedly discovered on other buses, including the TPSIL and Israeli news, according to this Israeli news agency. Israeli officials have ordered all bus and train services halted while all vehicles are inspected for bombs following the three bus explosions. Three public buses exploded on Thursday night around 8:30 p.m. As they sat in the depot of Bat Yam, a city located just south of Tel Aviv. Firefighters arrived on the scene and put out the fires. Three buses were empty at the time and no one was wounded. Two other explosive devices were found under other buses after the police and Shin Bet, Israel's internal security service, asked the drivers to stop the buses and check for devices. Now, a couple things about this. We know not three went off, as it says there. I don't know why it says two buses reportedly exploded. It says here that three in the article, but we know there were...
Newer information.
Yeah, we says there were 15, I believe, now up to this point that they found that were planned to be bombed. And here's why they didn't. This is so amazing how God intervened. Once again, you see God's hand confusing the enemies of Israel and intervening. They set the timers on these bombs in the public transit buses for 8:30 a.m., which is all... That would be the most full. Everybody at 8:30, it's full of people, 8 to 9. They would have been packed. Can you imagine 15 buses? They were trying to do another October 7th,
yes,
right inside of Tel Aviv.
Yes.
Another 15 buses, or eight, yeah, 15 buses would have blown up at 8:30 when they were full. Those buses hold, you know, 30, 40 people. So you'd have had, I mean, let's say it was, you know, 40. You got probably 500 people could have easily died in these explosions all at one time. And so you look at this and go, but here's what happened. They set three of the clocks wrong to 8:30 p.m. rather than 8:30 a.m. So these three buses go up and explode at 8:30, and guess what? Nobody's in them. By that time, they've parked the buses. Nobody's on them. Now, one of the bus drivers saw there was an article on the bus, so he drove. He got everybody off the bus, put the bus far away, and that bus exploded after he got everybody off of it. The other two went off as well because it was at 8:30. They went off. And so they figured out, okay, they were on timers, and now we have to check all the buses. And so they ended up, I think, at this point, 15 devices have been found. And of course, taken care of. Whether there's any more, we don't know. But again, just it doesn't end. Now, where they came in, it was a Syria West Bank connection is what they're talking about now, but we'll see how they got in there. It's amazing they could even do that. You know, Greg, you were talking, how do they get in there? How do they put these things? I know that one of them was simply left in a bag on the bus. I don't know if others were placed other places, but they do have security. You brought something up I want to share with our listeners because, you know, being over in Israel, I used, especially during that 5 weeks, I had to use the public transit because it's expensive to use taxis and they didn't want to rent a car. So you use the public transit, and it's always the public transit they try to hit because they want to kill Jews. They don't really hit the tour buses. That takes more effort, and plus these are, you know, they want Jews. But with that said, they check you. There's security you go through and all that. But I remember one time I left my bag. I was staying up in Katrine for 2 weeks on a teaching time up there, in which is up in the Golan Heights, up north of the Sea of Galilee, and I left my bag. I'm not used to putting my bag under a public bus. You just carry your stuff with you. It was a small bag. And I got off the bus, you know, trying to find where I was going to go. I had my phone looking at the GPS, and the bus drives off, and I realized, oh my goodness, I left my bag on the bus. Well, for me, I'm like, oh no, I need my bag, but I wasn't thinking much more of it than that. I go to the house, you know, everybody there serves in the military at some point. Well, their son that at the house I'm staying
They're connected.
He's in the military, and he's like, I left my bag on. He goes, oh man, they'll blow that up. I said, what? They go get your bag. If they find it, they put it somewhere and they blow it up because they don't know if a bomb's on it. And I'm like, I need my luggage. Don't blow up my undershirt or whatever. So don't blow my clothes up.
Was your Bible in there too?
No, I had my Bible with me.
Okay.
But either way, so I'm pretty sure I did. But either way, so he makes a call to the military. He makes a call to people. And they call the bus station. They say, okay, it's an American. He's at our house. They check who I am. They said, please don't destroy his luggage. And by God's grace, they put it on another bus. And when they came through there, I had to be waiting. They came and they handed me my luggage. And so it took a few hours, but I got my luggage back. But I'm telling you, they listen, they take it serious. Kind of like Monsters, Inc. You know, when the guys in the yellow fall down and they cover it up. Boom, they blow it up. That was going to be my luggage. So a sock was stuck to the back of Sully, and I was Mike Wachowski. And so I'm like, ah, no, sprayed myself in the eye, please. Ah, don't blow my luggage up. You know. But you know, I'm on TV. You know,
that's it. We're gonna have a new show. It's gonna be called Prophecy Inc.
Yes, yes. So the wrong door was open for me on that one. But again, God was faithful. But either way, they do watch it very closely. And again, I know that firsthand because almost having my luggage exploded. So, but thankfully, by God's grace, God did it to where the timers went off. They were able to discover it. And rather than another, you know, October 7th, they were able to stop this tear. And God is being so faithful to protect them. So again, we see God's hand protecting them. And that's why we need to continue to pray for them. But Greg, note this. I want to say again, another comment for it so I don't forget it. Watch what's happening. God is breaking the hearts of the Israelis. I'm not saying that God is bringing terrorism on them. Please don't misunderstand me. God has allowed these things to happen. And God is using this, I believe, to break them as a nation because God is preparing their hearts to receive their Messiah. Remember, as God was drawing us in as believers, he breaks us down till we finally break and we repent and say, I need help. I need you, Jesus. I give my life. I believe the process we see going on with the Israelis right now is a part of that breaking process, preparing their hearts, because the Bible says in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on them and there's going to be a multitude saved. I believe God is now breaking their hearts, even as the persecution, which we'll get to in just a moment around the world, I believe God is using that to drive them back to Israel. God is going to make it, God is going to allow the enemy to make it so uncomfortable for the Jews worldwide that the only place they're going to feel safe is Israel. Now, not all of them will get back, I don't think, but the majority will. And Greg, I believe they're being driven back right now, and I believe their hearts are being broken right now, getting ready for this amazing love story to unfold from a promise to Abraham thousands of years ago where God pours his spirit out once again on the nation of Israel, and they know their Messiah, and they rejoice in the kingdom with us very soon at the return of Jesus Christ.
All right, in our Ezekiel 38 and 39 news this week, we visit the Times of Israel for an article dated February 18th that says Russia is saying talks with the U.S. will have no impact on their cooperation with Iran.
Isn't that interesting? Russia making it clear we're still going to work with Iran.
We're still going to fulfill prophecy.
They are our buddies. Again, you know, so remember with Ezekiel 38 and 39, you're going to see the cooperation with Russia and Iran as they now try to move against the nation of Israel. So this is an alliance we would expect to maintain and strengthen leading up to it.
You know, it's really interesting when we think about it. You're talking about breaking. And you've got to be broken in order to be humble,
yes,
in order to realize I need someone beyond myself.
That's right.
And we see talking about how God is orchestrating things to break the Jews so they will look to him.
Right.
God is also breaking and will break the enemies of Israel, specifically through Ezekiel, so they, not that they will necessarily turn to the Lord, although maybe some will, because Ezekiel tells us that the nations will recognize the Lord did this.
Yes, that's right.
But it's more breaking them to prepare them to accept a one world leader.
It is. Yeah, you're right.
It's a different type of brokenness.
Yeah, the world's going to receive, yes, that one world leader, whereas the Jews are going to be receiving their Messiah. And a lot of the Jews, Greg, will at first, they will receive, like I said, that one world leader.
Yeah.
They're going to see him as their Messiah. And I really think that the biggest, you know, turning point is going to be the midway point of the Great Tribulation when this guy says that he's God. They're going to go, okay, he's not God. So we made a big mistake here, and that's where they're going to be protected down there in the Petra Basra region, area down there, wherever it's going to end up being. And yeah, you're exactly right. They're being prepared for a one world leader, being prepared for, again, the Antichrist and the Christ.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Both.
That's so wild to think about. You, when you think about the fervor with which the Antichrist is going to be able to execute his annihilation of the Jews to the point where the Bible says the persecution will be greater than any time on earth.
Yeah.
But yet, in the midst of that, we're talking about a physical geographical location that isn't like halfway around the world.
Right.
It's right next door to Israel, and somehow God is just going to supernaturally protect these people from Satan through the Antichrist and his fury to get to them. It's just, I'm looking forward to seeing how that actually will look.
Well, he talks about the earth opening up and swallowing the armies of the Antichrist. So, I mean, if you take that literally, is there going to be some type of massive earthquake that literally will swallow large numbers and make a big chasm? And there's, I don't know. It's crazy to think about. It is going to be amazing. And I do believe, I know people differ on, will we see what's going on during the Great Tribulation? I absolutely believe we will, because John is there. He sees it. He's writing it down, and he's told us in advance. I believe we're going to see it as well. Some people think, well, we can't see it because it would make us sad. You're not going to be sad in heaven. You're not going to be sad. You're going to realize this is God's plan, and you're going to think as God. You're going to know as God. You're going to see the righteousness in it.
We'll have his perspective.
Yes, and so you're going to be rejoicing. Yes, okay. Does God rejoice in having to judge? Absolutely not. God hates that he has to
judge.
He's
long-suffering.
Right, but we're going to rejoice in God's righteousness and in God's righteous judgment. That's what we're going to rejoice in. And at the same time, we're going to be having the wedding supper of the Lamb and just having, I just can't wait. Lord,
yes.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
So in between bites of the wedding supper, we'll be looking at the big screen, so to speak, you know, and watching this play out.
I think we're just going to be able to, you know, it's interesting. These new jets they have, the new military jets.
Like a dinner
jets.
Theater.
Well, yeah, have you seen the new military jets? They have a helmet. You can literally see everything around you.
Oh, yes.
Because the cameras.
Yes.
I think we're just going to be able to, and all these cameras, but I think we'll just be able to see everything. And we'll just be there and we'll just be watching it all. I mean, the big screen thing's the idea, but I don't think we'll need it. I think we're going to be just seeing it, watching it, being there. And it is going to be such an amazing supernatural with the glory of the Lord and the joy and at the same time the sorrow of what's happening on the earth and yet the righteous judgment against the wicked. What an amazing, amazing thing. But either way, it says that the start of the Russia-U.S. talks will have no impact on Moscow's cooperation with Iran, they said. Russia is ready to help Iran solve problems related to its nuclear program, Peskov added. Moscow attaches great importance, they said, to good relations with Iran and intends to develop them comprehensively. And I'll put this, I'll add my quotes in there. How else could we fulfill Bible prophecy? Now we get back to the article. Including providing assistance in solving the main problems, including the nuclear program. Peskov was quoted as saying in an interview that he gave to the IRNA news agency. His remarks came as U.S. and Russia officials met in Riyadh for the most significant talks to date between the two former Cold War foes. Iran on Monday vowed to defend its nuclear program. Netanyahu made the comment at a joint press conference that he said that the Prime Minister can do nothing. But Netanyahu said, we are going to finish the job. Again, U.S. State Marco Rubio said that Iran was behind every terrorist group in the region and that the nuclear Iran could never happen. On Friday, the UN nuclear watchdog chief said time was running out for Iran's nuclear program, and Netanyahu is also said to have discussed a potential strike with the U.S. President Donald Trump, and it has been further reported that the U.S. has supplied Israel with heavy munitions required for such an operation. You remember we just made a major delivery over to Israel? Do you saw that in the news? Okay, they're saying that what they need to go in and take out their nuclear facilities came in that delivery. So now they have what they need in Israel to take out the nuclear devices. And what they're saying is once this issue with Hamas is settled, they're going to go in and take out those nuclear facilities in Iran this year. So, Greg, this could be an extremely exciting year, not just for cleaning out Gaza, but for going in and cleaning out the nuclear abilities of Iran, which, again, is only going to make them madder to link with Russia to come and attack Israel.
I know.
I mean, this whole thing, this is an exciting, exciting biblical moment that we're living in.
Do you ever daydream? Sometimes I've done this, like, you know, if I had an opportunity to talk with Vladimir Putin and say, Vladimir, look. Right here in Ezekiel, it talks about you.
That's right.
This is what it says. You know, and I wonder if you could share them all the truth. And I wonder if God wouldn't allow him to hear you, but he'd hear like Charlie Brown's parents. You know, you just wonder because it's like, it's so clear.
Well, you know, it would be hard to receive that as a Russian leader to know you're going to be destroyed because there's a pride issue. But, you know, Alexander the Great.
But what about up to the point where he says you're going to amass a great army on the border?
Yeah.
I mean, you could
maybe, but I think when you said, but then you're going to be wiped out. I think that'd be like, you know, no one would wipe us out, you know. But again, you think about, you know, Alexander the Great. You know, we know historically that when he approached Jerusalem, the high priest came to him and showed him scripture out of Daniel, and he believed it.
He did.
But it was honoring.
Yes,
it was. You're going to conquer.
Well, now you're on the good side.
That's
yes,
that's right. That's right. You know, you go to Vladimir Putin, you know, and be like, I'm not sure he'd be so glad to hear what's really going to be the outcome.
That's right.
You're going to be wiped out. So, yeah.
Well, more on that to come.
Yes.
Whether we'll be here to tell you about the comings and goings of Ezekiel is yet to be seen.
That's right. Keep your Bibles tuned in.
That's it.
We haven't had this in a while.
No, we haven't. Because we haven't had a story like this in a while. This comes from Breitbart.com, dated February 15th. Zelensky calls for the creation of the European Armed Forces in Munich.
Isn't this interesting?
Yes, it is.
You know, because, you know, one of the things, Greg, that I've been watching with President Trump commanding the world the way he's commanding it, I do not believe that he's the Antichrist or that he's the false prophet. I'm glad he's our president. I mean, there's a lot of things that are happening that are very positive. But because of his command of the world, the thought has popped in my mind, Could he unknowingly formulate the 10 toes as he's trying to do something giant in the world? Everything for him is big. One big, beautiful world, you know, and we'll have these big, beautiful 10 regions, you know, and this kind of thing. And America gets to run it. You know what I mean? I could see that kind of thing. But I know that that may not be. That may not be the case. But even if that's not the case, when I saw this, could it be that because the world sees President Trump commanding the world so much, that they are pushed into a 10-nation conglomerate to fight back against the power of the great American empire that now President Trump is putting back together? So this is interesting to me. While the Trump administration has drawn feigned outrage throughout European capitals for daring to suggest that they meet their NATO defense spending obligations. How dare you make us pay money when you're paying? President Zelensky was hailed with applause at the Munich Security Conference as he called for an international European army. Again, this is, we know that, again, Europe, this is where it's going to come out of, the revived Roman Empire. Zelensky argued that a European army would be necessary for Europe to take back its own destiny and to ensure its safety if America refused to come to its rescue. Again, probably because he thinks America, President Trump will rename Europe America. But anyway, who knows? He won't. But
Eastern America.
Yes, Eastern America. And anywhere you may roam belongs to us. Anyway,
that's right.
He says, let's be honest. Now, we can't rule out the possibility that America might say no to Europe on an issue that might threaten us. Many leaders have talked about a Europe that needs its own military, an army of Europe. Again, this is amazing. And I really believe that at the time has come for armed forces of Europe to be created. Now, of course, Zelensky's upset because President Trump's not going to help him anymore. And Zelensky started getting snotty to the president. He's name calling to him. What are you doing?
He blocks Truth Social Club social media for being in Ukraine.
What are you doing? The most powerful nation in the world, the most powerful leader, and you're going, you know what? You're going to get buried. He's going to be buried if he does this.
Well, because he wasn't included in the talks with Putin either. So that was also.
It doesn't matter.
I know.
If you're going to get buried,
he told him to sit at the little kids' table.
There you go. And that was that Babylon Bee having the little kids' table, you know, with the little tennis balls on the bottom of it. And the Ukraine leader said, per the AP, that 3 years of full scale war have proven that we already have the foundation for a united European military force. Yeah, it's called the revived Roman Empire, my friend. And now, as we fight this war and lay the groundwork for peace and security, we must build the armed forces of Europe. Zelensky claimed that such an army would not present replacing the NATO alliance, but rather about making Europe's contribution or partnership equal to America's.
Yes.
Yeah. In other words, if America's not going to help me, I want Europe to. So, guys, put together a big army and come fight for me.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing.
Well, you know, the Babylon Bee reported that Putin doesn't even want Ukraine anymore because it has all these holes in it.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah, they ruined it.
It's all destroyed now. Why, you can keep it now.
That's just, anyway. But again, in all seriousness.
Yes.
This right here, because of President Trump's presence, we may see the formulation of the 10 toes, not because the president doing it, but his very presence in the world may force this to come together. And Greg, at some point, I'm under the impression that it's got to come together before the Antichrist can rise up, because how does the little horn rise up in the middle? I know that not everybody agrees on that, but I don't see how it's got to be in place before the Antichrist is on the scene, or how does he rise up in the middle and take him over?
Yeah. Now, we know, ultimately, there's going to be 10 regions of the world. President Trump talking about Greenland, talking about Canada, talking about Mexico, in terms of having those countries be some sort of part of the United States, is enough to get them on their heels.
Yeah.
That, okay, well, like, if he heads towards Greenland, what's next?
Yeah.
And so there's that fear, because not knowing Trump, not knowing what Bible prophecy says, it's like every man for himself.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I mean, again, this could force all kinds of things worldwide. Now, one other thing I want our listeners to be aware of, and Greg, maybe you're not even aware, but it's coming more on the scene, even with more of the regular prophecy guys. I heard this just recently from somebody that's kind of in the regular prophecy loop. I wasn't really hearing it there, but I have now. So I want to mention it to our listeners. There is a theory out there and a teaching that these 10 regions are actually 10 technocrats, 10 world technological leaders that will rule the world in some conglomerate of these 10 leaders. And the reason they're getting this theory going is because of Elon Musk, Sam Altman, some of these guys doing AI, Bill Gates, and they're saying that they believe that the 10 toes are these 10 world leaders that will control the world through data and all those things, which it will be controlled that way. I do not believe that's what it is, but I want you to be aware. I want our listeners to be aware. If you hear that theory, it is out there. I don't agree with it. Maybe God will show me something different down the road that would make me. I'm like you. I believe it's going to be 10 kingdoms, 10 regions, 10 official leaders that are going to be world leaders rather than techie guys from, you know, Silicon Valley or whatever. But either way, that theory is out there, and that's you're going to hear that.
Well, my toe has an apple on it, so.
Uh-oh. See a doctor yet? Have you seen a doctor? That's could be just a fungal thing.
Yeah, well, it's a red apple. It's not a green apple. If it was a green apple, then we'd have a problem.
It still could be fungal. I mean, it's just a ripe fungus.
It's just
okay,
a ripe fungus.
Okay, this is getting nasty.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Let's get our focus. Hopefully nobody's eating right now.
Yeah.
All right. Growing anti-Semitism news. Let's go to our first article from Israel National News, dated February 13th. This kind of ties back to what we were talking about before, Pastor Mark. Nearly 80% of Jews feel less safe in America after October 7th.
That's right. They're being, again, the pressure's turning up to drive them back. One of two articles. The first one, just real quickly, 56%, as you said, of American Jews, they believe they have fears. Most American Jewish adults are altering their behavior due to fears of anti-Semitism. That figure, again, they're altering it basically, Greg, even the way that what they wear. What they do, some are afraid to wear Star David, or they're, you know, they put the yarmulke on, these kind of things, how they're going to be treated.
That's very sad.
The AGCA said the survey was designed to capture how American Jews have experienced anti-Semitism in the year plus following the outbreak of the war in Gaza. The results largely align with findings from other surveys, further documenting the rise in anti-Semitism.
So.
Which leads to the next article.
Yes.
Because I want to build on that.
Okay, well, let's build through Fox News, an article dated February 19th, where anti-Israel protest in New York City devolves into violence and mayhem.
Yeah, so it's not just a fear they have. It is legitimate, and the fruit is
substantiated.
That's right, and right here it is. A group of anti-Israel demonstrators descended on an Orthodox Jewish neighborhood in New York City on Tuesday, leading to violent clashes and chaotic scenes, according to the reports and video. I thought it was just I'm not going to say that. Let's go on. Several fights broke out as the agitators chanted, "Zionists can go to hell," and waved Palestinian flags at the Borough Park protest in Brooklyn. The neighborhood is well known for its large Orthodox Jewish population. The protest was led by anti-Israel Paul Adda. Never heard of them before. It's a new group I'd heard of, an activist group, who said they were flooding Borough Park to demonstrate against the sale of stolen Palestinian land. Okay, wait. The Bible says this land was given to Abraham and his descendants through Isaac and Jacob. That is the Jews. The only land that's been stolen is what has been taken from the Jews. So let's just give a correction there. They said they were targeting an event that was selling real estate in Israel. One arrest was made with Anthony Frosto, 42, of Brooklyn, taken into custody and charged with assault as he allegedly punched a 61-year-old man in the face, police said. Footage also shows a large knife on the ground. Police said they were not aware of the knife being used in any attack. So, what's happening? Again, I'm not saying God is doing this. I want to be clear on that. God is allowing this, and I believe the reason is, to reiterate, God is making the Jews worldwide uncomfortable anywhere but Israel. And he's letting this happen on purpose because the Bible says he will drive them back. He will bring them back and he will drive them back to the land in the last days. God is regathering the Jews to their promised land. It was not promised to anyone else but the Jews. God is sending them back. They're taking their land. Satan is having a fit. It's being played out through the world because Satan's running the show by, as the Bible says, the whole world's under his sway. But this is part of God's plan. Look, I hate to see them being abused like this. I hate it. And I would defend them if I was there. And I'll defend them from here vocally. But God is using this to get them to give up and go home. And my encouragement be is go to Israel because that's where God wants you to be. That's your land. God will restore you. He's bringing you back. He's going to pour his spirit out on you. And there's an amazing future for those of you who receive your Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so we're watching it take place before our very eyes.
In our church news this week, this is not good news either. This is from opendoors.org. Thousands of Christians killed and imprisoned for their faith just last year.
Yeah, you know, again, this is something that we talk about fairly regular that we can't forget. It's not just the Jews that Satan's after.
Mm-mm.
It is the Christian as well. Remember some of the chants in the Middle East. They say Saturday first, then Sunday. They want to get the Jews first and then come after the Christians. So we're only second in hatred to the Jews. And because it's the same demonic spirit, it's Satan's spirit moving in the hearts of those to hate God and to hate the promises to the people that God loves, which are the Jews and the Christians, his bride.
Yep.
And so, again, sadly here, in 2024, 4,476 Christians were murdered around the globe because of their beliefs. Another 4,744, so close to 9,000 here, were total with either murdered or were imprisoned. Over 7,670 churches and Christian properties were attacked as well. Those numbers are reported by Open Doors, a global ministry dedicated to serving persecuted believers, which has released its 2025 World Watch List. The annual report reveals the top 50 countries where Christians are still most likely to face severe consequences for their faith, from the loss of their homes and jobs to imprisonment and death. According to Open Doors, more than 380 million Christians, that's larger than America, one in seven, faced high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith in Jesus Christ in 2024. Over 310 million of those believers are represented in the World Watch List. One in five African believers are persecuted, while two in five Christians in Asia face oppression. Now, when you think about 7,600 churches, we have a little over 700 churches, okay, in our area. So you're looking at like, I don't know what that number would come out to be, but it would be if every single
church attacked more than twice in a year.
Think about
what you're talking about.
Here in Knoxville,
yeah.
If every single church was attacked and people killed or it burned and whatever, there's only 700.
Yeah.
Okay, imagine how our community would respond. This is 7,670. Now, I know it's not all in one city.
Right.
But I say that for dramatic effect on purpose. Realize how many of our family, our brothers and sisters worldwide, are under attack. You know, again, we live in this bubble, and a protected bubble, and we don't need to be ashamed of that. God has blessed us to be able to have this, but we need to also remember, as Paul wrote in his letters, remember my chains. You know, remember that this is what's happening to me. And so, again, we need to remember that this is the stuff happening to our brothers and sisters and be praying for them. It is just atrocious what's going on worldwide. Yeah. And the thing is, it's going to continue to ratchet up until the rapture of the church. God will rescue his bride out of here. And then it's just going to be the Jews that are going to come under the great, great persecution and all those that are unbelievers. And so there will be a rescue. The Lord will come and sweep his bride off of her feet and take her into the kingdom. But for now, we need to stand together, link together, and fight together for God's people and God's kingdom. So it's a tough day, and the Bible said in the last days it's going to get worse. We can expect that, but we have the horizon of hope in the rapture of the church and the return of Jesus Christ very soon.
You know, it's interesting, Pastor Mark, when we look at the spiritual battle of things, and we look at society's push for tolerance, for acceptance.
Yeah.
But let's pull back and not look at necessarily any one particular cause or issue myopically, but what those issues really represent in terms of good versus evil. And what we really see in the spiritual battle of things, Satan manipulating people to rise up for the cause of tolerance and acceptance of sin or sinful behavior or sinful action. And then, but the things that we should be standing against, like the persecution of the Jews, the murdering of innocent life, the world champions that.
Yeah.
They stand behind it, or if anything, turn a blind eye to it.
Right.
But the things that are openly, and not just sinful, but openly sinful, God-mocking, an abomination like sin that the Bible talks about, those things the world gets behind and gets behind on a global level. Yeah. We can't miss that picture.
Yeah.
Because that's the spiritual battle going on right now.
Yeah, you're right. You're exactly right. It's a much larger picture. But again, that's what this whole broadcast is about, to broaden the viewpoint so that people get more involved and see the broader picture and kind of are more in tune to know what's going on in the last days, signs of the times.
All right, let's take a look at some good news. And I think this is good news. This is from All Israel News, dated February 11th. An Iranian ex-commander, clearly, if he's making this stand, he's not with the Iranian army anymore. He's now a believer in Jesus, and not just that he's okay with the Jews now, but he's a believer in Jesus, of which many Jews don't believe.
That's right.
Addresses the members of the Knesset and says, I'm here standing with Israel.
Look how powerful of a witness that God gave to the nation of Israel and their leadership. Greg, you just said it. This is amazing. First of all, that an Iranian would get saved growing up in Islam. Number two, that an Iranian commander would get saved. Number three, that an Iranian commander would be invited to speak to the unbelieving Knesset, their Congress, and share that he's an Iranian who now loves Israel because he met Jesus.
Nobody is writing this script. Only God writes the script like this.
What would I be? If I was a Knesset member, what would I think? I'd be, I mean, you got to be thinking, wow, something. I mean, I wonder, God is working so hard on their hearts. It's amazing that they can't see, but I know God's got to lift that veil. But once again, look, this is part of that preparation. God's getting them prepared. And then when the veil lifts, I mean, all this stuff is going to come tumbling down. They're going to realize Jesus is their Messiah. Listen to this amazing story. Just days before, the streets of Tehran filled with people declaring death to Israel, death to America. To mark the anniversary of the Islamic Revolution, an Iranian from the same city stood to address the Knesset, that is their Congress, in Israel, with exactly the opposite message. And remember, Iran's Israel's, you know, arch enemy. Many years ago, Kharosh Azmadir, his name is changed for security reasons, was commander in the Iranian army, but now he is the pastor of a church in Europe. There's another miracle, that there's a church in Europe. I mean, really, I'm being silly, but I know there's believers there, but it's so bad.
But this guy's now a pastor?
He is a pastor. Yes, in a dying Europe.
Wow.
I love it. Azad Meir told members of the Knesset, and I quote, "I was trained by a regime. I was completely brainwashed. I was a commander." Now imagine saying this to these unbelieving Jews. Here he goes. "But one day, I prayed to the God of Israel." Wow. "And I said, show me the truth." "He came to me, the God of Israel, Yeshua the Mashiach, Jesus the Messiah. He changed me completely. Now I'm here, standing with Israel with a big heart, crying and standing with you until the very end. I love you so much with all my heart. This is very precious to me." Wow! And that's what happens for somebody who truly meets Jesus. They have a love for the Jewish people. That's what happened to me. I didn't dislike the Jewish people. I was just kind of neutral. I didn't think about them any different than any other person on the planet.
I was the same way, too.
And I didn't really have anybody I hated. I just didn't, you know. But boy, I loved the Jews. When I got saved, I just loved the Jews and Israel. It was supernatural.
Yep.
There's no other way to describe it. It's something God does in your heart. As Azad Meir and his family previously lived in Israel for 5 years, where their understanding of the Jewish roots of the Christian faith developed and their love for the people grew. At his church in Europe, Azad Meir now leads his congregation to appreciate Israel's appointed feasts as laid out in the Bible, and also teaches an Iranian group in the Farsi language who, like him, had to flee their homeland. The group also visited a Messianic Jewish congregation on Mount Carmel near Haifa. And Azad Meir was invited to share at the service. Like John Ghanim from Yemen, he believes the culture of cursing Israel, which is endemic in his homeland, has resulted, get this, in the country being cursed in return, as the Bible warns in Genesis 12:3. He finished by saying, "Hey, I believe the reason that we're being cursed in Iran right now is because we're not obeying 12:3, the promise to Abraham." I just, you know, it's like God could not pick a better person to save and to bring to the Knesset and say, "Look, what a rebuke. What a rebuke. Here you are, the children of Abraham, the leaders of the nation of the children of Abraham, and a foreigner that this country hates the Jews. God saves him. He has to come bring you the message about your Messiah, Jesus Christ, and sharing his love with you when you're rejecting him." What a rebuke. Look, I love the nation of Israel. I stand with them, but they need to be rebuked. And he did rebuke them. They may not have realized it, but this was a rebuke to the nation in love to correct them, to turn their Messiah. And so again, we know,
wow,
God will, he's getting them ready to pour his spirit out. Their eyes will be open. But here's what we know. Until God opens the eyes, no one can see God or the truth of the Lord.
Yeah.
That is a work of the Holy Spirit. And it might be that even during this broadcast, as we come up toward the end of the broadcast, that some of you that have been listening today, maybe you are not true believers. Maybe you've never known the Lord. And for whatever reason, you're listening to this broadcast. I know the reason. God has you listening. The Holy Spirit has brought you here. And for the first time, God has opened your eyes. Suddenly, you realize, wait a minute. I do believe that Jesus is God. I do believe he's the Messiah. I see the prophecy. These things couldn't happen unless God was doing it. And my eyes are open. And I also, for the first time, realize that I am a sinner that needs to be forgiven or I can't go to heaven. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And unless you repent, you cannot go to heaven. And it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that you can repent through to get to heaven. Here's what the Bible says you're to do. From your heart, if you confess you're a sinner, tell the Lord, I'm guilty of sin. I know that I can't go to heaven because of my sin. And I believe that you died for me on the cross, and by your blood, I've been washed clean out of my sins. Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean by your blood. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And the Bible says if you do that, you will be forgiven of your sins. You will be born again, and you will have your place in the kingdom of God. You can make that decision right now in your house, in your car, sitting in front of your computer, listening on your phone, wherever you are, make that decision and secure your place in the kingdom of God, because Jesus is coming, and he's coming very soon.
Amen. Pastor Mark, as always, thank you so much. And folks, thanks for listening. Do not forget thewaymedia.net, where you can get everything Signs of the Times related there, as well as other content that we make available, such as Come to the Table, Pastor Mark's daily radio program, Signs of the Times, of course. We stream our radio station on there, and as well as Pastor Mark's teachings are always available there at thewaymedia.net. And we'll see you back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.
WIAM LP Knoxville.
Here's a look at your East Tennessee weather here on WIAM.
Lots of sunshine today. A high this afternoon will be right around 35. We will see clear skies, low 20s overnight. Saturday, lots of sunshine, a high near 45. And then Sunday, plenty of sun, upper 40s. We should see the mid to upper 50s. Monday, Tuesday, sunny skies, low to mid 60s. And Wednesday, back to sunshine, or high on Wednesday, right around 65. Thursday, a 50-50 chance of showers, or high temperatures on Thursday, right around the mid 50s. I'm meteorologist Sally Russell.